Welcome. I'd like to call the January 7th, 2021 board meeting to order and remind everyone to please mute your phone or computer microphone when not speaking. Thank you. Today we welcome our newest commissioner, Mayor Lacey Beatty, to the WWS board. Welcome. Commissioners present are David Judah, City Hillsborough, Lacey Beatty, City of Beaverton, myself, Jim Duggan, from Tuolumne Valley Water District. Ms. Branton will now conduct a roll call for the record.
Thank you, Chair Duggan. Please respond when I call your name. We do have our commissioners noted and accounted for. Tom Hickman.
I am here.
Thank you. Clark Balfour.
Present.
Paul Matthews.
Present.
Justin Carlton. Carrie Pack.
Here.
Joel Carey. Matt Oglesby.
Present.
Nikki Iverson.
Here.
Chris Wilson.
Present. Thank you.
Lee Lindsay.
Here.
Eric Hillema.
Present.
Chad Lynn.
Here.
David Winship.
I'm here.
Patrick O'Clair. Susan Cole. Dave Kraska.
Present.
Joelle Bennett.
Present.
Bill Vanderveer.
Present.
Mike Rich.
Present.
Christina Walter.
Here.
Lisa Houghton.
Present.
And we have a guest with us today, Robin Neer.
Present.
And I believe Shannon Walton Clark has joined us.
I'm here.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else that has joined us today? Thank you, everyone. This concludes the roll call.
Thank you, Faye. First on our agenda is the General Manager's Report. Mr. Kraska will now present.
Good afternoon, Commissioners, and welcome, Mayor Beatty. My name is David Kraska. I am the Director of the Willamette Water Supply Program. I work for Tuolumne Valley Water District, but really I work for all of the owners of the Willamette Water Supply Program, so TVWD, Beaverton, and Hillsborough. Another role I play is as the General Manager of the Willamette Water Supply System Commission, of which you are now a board member. And so we have these monthly meetings, and I give a general manager's report and sometimes other reports, and other staff on the program and the managing agency also provide reports. And so just a little introduction there for you. Just while I'm speaking now, I'll remind the two staff that are also making presentations today that when you do turn on your camera and just provide a brief introduction kind of your role on the work that we're doing here. So that would be Joelle and Paul later in the presentation here today. But with that introduction,
hey,
I'll
Dave,
start off. Yes.
Excuse me just a minute. This is Commissioner Judah. Just so you know, when you have the screen sharing going on, at least on my computer, you don't see anybody's face on the camera.
Okay. Not sure how to fix that.
Yeah, I don't. Bouncing back and forth might not be fun. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. The way it for what it's worth, the way it shows up on my screen, there's a row of kind of like icons at the bottom of the screen, and I can at least see my camera is on. It looks like somebody has their hand up to offer some advice here.
I that was an accident. I was going to put it in chat, but I see what you're seeing as well. I get the
row on the bottom, and if you have your camera on, I see it. But, hey, but I only get five. I only get five of them.
Hey Dave, if you happen to be in full screen mode, if you escape full screen mode, it will post small icons of the cameras across the top or side.
So we're thanks, Eric. We're doing a little more fancy than that because we have Joelle doing the presentation, but
So I just offer this too. If I click on your picture, Dave,
yes,
I actually get all the people again, and then the screen share goes to the bottom of the screen.
Okay. Tom, you've got some advice?
I'm not sure. I mean, if the goal here is so that we can see everybody, you can do that by sharing your screen, your desktop screen, and then you just click on the little three dots, and you can bring everybody up if that's what you want to do. I'm not sure that's what you're trying to do, but I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
You got enough advice.
Yeah, if it's okay with everyone, I'll leave my camera on while I'm speaking. I'll encourage others that when they're speaking, leave their camera on. But rather than challenging our technology and our ability to handle technology and sidelining our overall meeting, I'd encourage that we just stick with the program here and not try to maybe skip the part of where we get to see each other's beautiful faces, if everyone's okay with that.
Perfect.
I'll take that as an affirmative. Thank you. All right. So let's get into our meeting. And we always start our meetings with a safety moment. So let's go ahead and click into that. And today's safety moment is about preparing your car for safe winter driving. So a few quick slides on that. Ask yourself, is your car ready for safe winter driving? And so it starts with having your car serviced for winter conditions. There's a number of things listed here that if you're handy, maybe you can do them yourselves. Otherwise, just take it to a place and get these things checked out. Your battery, your cooling system, for your engine, not so much for the interior of the car. The brakes, belts, hoses, spark plugs, wires, cables. Get those things checked out to make sure your car is safe and reliable and can get you where you're going and get the car started again and back from wherever you're returning from. Next slide, please. And regarding tires, not all the tires are the same, and some of the tires that you might have on your car during the warmer weather is not appropriate for some of the cold winters that we have here in the Portland area. Not so much this year so far, but we all know that sometimes they can get pretty rough with icy conditions and snow. So winter tires that are designed for those very low cold temperatures remain with traction even when the temperatures do get that cold. The summer tires or sometimes the all season tires aren't appropriate for that. So pay attention to the type of tires you have on your car. Make sure they're appropriate for the conditions and also the tire pressure as well. Next slide, please. And regarding some other hints here about checking for changing temperatures, when it's very cold, actually the traction is better, especially if they have the right tires, than when it's around freezing, like specifically around like 32, 33 degrees, it's actually most slippery around those temperatures. So be careful about that. Installing winter wipers can help swipe away the ice that is collected on the windshield. Making sure your windshield washer is fluid is full, because a lot of those fluids have antifreeze in them to help get rid of the ice on the windshield. Keep your rear window defroster in working order, and keep your gas tank full, or at least half full, so in case you get stuck in traffic, as we have from time to time when winter conditions creep up on us, you're not going to get stranded. Next slide. And carry a winter emergency supply kit. So in case you do get stuck somewhere, you have all the tools and supplies you need to maintain safe until help arrives. And I won't go through all the things there. There's a lot of information on the internet and prepackaged kits that you can get for safe travels. And consider getting a supply kit and keep it in your car, especially this time of year. Next slide. And then finally, prepare yourself for these conditions. Learning how to winter emergency preparedness, like we've talked about here, and also how to drive in winter conditions I know Tom has talked about this a number of times, taking a course where you learn how to handle your car when it gets into a slide. Those things can be very helpful and really get you out of a jam when they sneak up on you. And so I think that concludes our safety moment for today. We can continue on with our general manager's report. And so I'm going to skip the remote meetings etiquette. We've talked about that. Well, I'll just go through it really quickly. Just muting your microphone when you're not speaking. Identify yourself before you speak. And then if somebody other than a board member would like to speak or ask a question, use the chat feature to let me know that you've got a question, and then wait to be acknowledged. We covered the safety moment. Now getting into the approvals and procurements forecast. Attached to this GM report is that forecast for December 2020 through February 2021, and it presents a view of the program activities that have recently been approved or are scheduled for approval over the next 2 months by either program director, WWSS committees, or the WWSS board. The forecast identifies 6 business items that are anticipated in the February board meeting agenda. These include, again, as a forecast, it's what's coming up. So these include 2 WWSS intergovernmental agreements, 1 IGA and 2 contract amendments, 1 service contract approval by the local contract review board. And Joelle is going to have a staff report later in this meeting on those anticipated February business agenda items. Regarding projects planning, permitting, and communications updates, a permit was recently issued for the PLW 1.3 project, as well as land use approvals for the PLW 2, PLM 5.3, and water treatment plant projects. Permit applications continue to be prepared and submitted for various WWSP projects, and there's a whole long list of them here. So there's a lot of activity going on right now for all of our permitting because we're wrapping up a lot of our design activities and we're going to be heading into a lot of construction activities. And regarding all of this, despite restrictions and modified business practices of the permitting agencies related to COVID-19, our permits continue to be processed in a timely manner. Continuing on now to our project's design status updates, work continues on multiple design projects, including 11 pipelines, the water treatment plant, the distributed control systems, and our terminal storage projects. And like the permitting activities, all of those design projects are progressing according to plan. And finally, a quick update on all of our construction project status updates. Project status, there are 6 of them, projects in construction, starting with a raw water facilities project located on the Willamette River near the water treatment plant. We are proceeding with deep soil mixing work at the riverbank. That's for the seismic stability work there for the raw water intake. And we've completed foundation work at the upper site and continuing caisson construction for the creek crossing there at Arrowhead Creek. Regarding our PLM 1.1 project, that's a raw water pipeline project in Wilsonville that extends from the raw water facility project up to Wilsonville Road. We've completed grading, topsoil restoration, completed the pipeline testing, and we've completed restoration at Kinsman Road. This project is substantially complete, so this one's about done. Our PLM 1.2 project, that is another raw water pipeline project kind of on the north end of the city of Wilsonville. And that's a part of also, it's a partnership project as part of Wilsonville's Garden Acres Road project. We've completed pipeline installation. We've completed our interior joint grouting, and filling and pressure testing on that project is upcoming. Our PLM 5.1 project, that's our finished water pipeline project in Roy Rogers Road, being done in partnership with the, Washington County in Roy Rogers Road, just south of Shoals Ferry Road. On that project so far, we've installed 4,704 feet, or 65% of that project. We're continuing installation of appurtenances and the corrosion protection system for that project as well. Our PLM 5.2 project is just further north from that one, along Shoals Ferry Road and Tile Flat Road. That one we've commissioned the cathodic protection system. We've continued property restoration, and we've held a walkthrough with the operations staff, and we've closed our project permits on that one. So that one as well, we're almost finished with. And our PLW 1.3 project, that's our finished water pipeline project in South Hillsborough from Farmington Road up to Southeast Blanton Street. On that one, we're starting the microtunnel shaft construction. We've installed observation rails, and Rosedale Road is about to be closed for several months. That's something that we got approved from Washington County, so that we can proceed with that work safely and as fast as possible to get out of people's way. Regarding this, all of these projects remain on track and are progressing according to plan, which is great news all the time. And all of our contractors are remaining in compliance with the governor's executive order number 20-12 regarding hygiene and social distancing. And that concludes my general manager's report for this month. I'd be glad to take any questions if there are any.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions from commissioners?
None from Commissioner Judah.
Well, hearing none, we can move on to our public comment item. Public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board regarding consent agenda or non-agenda items. Public comment will be included on other agenda items as they are presented. Do we have any persons who would like to comment at this meeting who are present? Hearing none, I believe we can move on to the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. We have a single item for our consent agenda, which consists of approving the December 3rd, 2020 meeting minutes. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented?
This is Commissioner Judah. So moved.
Commissioner Beatty, if you would like to do a second, I'll provide the second. If you wish not to provide, because I was there at the meeting, so I'll second that motion. I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Commissioner Duggan?
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Business agenda items. Our first business agenda item is the election of officers for 2021. Mr. Kraska will now present the staff report.
Thank you again, commissioners. Let's have another election. We don't have enough elections and election news, so let's have some more. So it is the beginning of the calendar year, and per section 5.3 of the WWSSIGA, we need to hold elections. And I'll just read into the record here what it states in that IGA, is that the board shall annually elect from its members a chair and a vice chair who shall be officers of the board. And the election shall occur at the first meeting of the board each calendar year, so today's meeting, unless otherwise agreed to by the board. The chair shall serve as the presiding officer. In the absence of the chair, the vice chair shall serve as the presiding officer. Officers shall serve at the pleasure of the board and may be replaced by the board at any time. Officers will serve until a successor is appointed by the board. So as of last year, our elected officers were Commissioner Duggan as the chair and Mayor Doyle as the vice chair. Mayor Doyle's term ended at December 31st, the end of last year. And so right now the vice chair seat is vacant. And so here we are. So I'll leave it to the board members to nominate and elect chair and vice chair.
Well, thank you, Dave. The floor is now open for the election of officers for the WWS Board of Commissioners for calendar year 2021. And as existing chair, I will claim privilege to nominate Commissioner David Judah as chair for 2021. Do I have a second? Or first, Commissioner Judah, are you open to being chair for 2021?
Yes, I am, and thank you for your nomination.
Is there a second for Commissioner Judah to be chair for 2021? Commissioner Beatty?
I'll second the nomination.
Thank you. I just want to make sure you're still present. It's been moved and seconded that Commissioner Judah be chair for 2021. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Commissioner Duggan?
Aye, Commissioner Judah.
Aye, Commissioner Beatty.
Thank you. The vote passes with none opposed. At this point, I will transfer the virtual gavel to the newly elected chair. We'll now assume the duties of running this meeting and begin the election of the vice chair.
Thank you very much. At this point, the new chair, I would like to nominate Commissioner Duggan as the vice chair for the year 2021. Do we have a second for that?
I can second that motion.
Thank you very much. So it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye, Commissioner Judah.
Aye, Commissioner Duggan.
Aye, Commissioner Beatty.
All right. There are none opposed. The vote passes. Okay, so that takes care of the election of officers, if I'm following correctly here. So agenda item 4B is adopt a supplemental resolution of public necessity for PLM 5.3. Joelle Bennett.
Thank you, Chair Judah. My name is Joelle Bennett. I'm the Willamette Water Supply Program Assistant Program Director. I assist Dave in multiple areas on the program, mostly real estate, risk management, agreements, and our water supply integration project. So busy but fun. So let's do a real estate item. Willamette Water Supply Systems PLM 5.3 has already initiated property acquisition for this project, and this resolution addresses a changed property need for a specific property on this alignment. This resolution will allow us to proceed with acquisition based on that refined easement need. So the commission has the authority to acquire real property for the WWSS. Pipeline Section 5.3 requires the acquisition of easements on private property, and the alignment for 5.3 was selected through an extensive alternatives evaluation, and the preferred locations were selected based on the best interests of the public and the least injury to private property owners. The resolution enables the initiation of the property acquisition process, including negotiations with interest holders, and also authorizes the acquisition of the property interest by eminent domain to the extent that negotiations fail. Staff recommend approval of the proposed resolution. Are there any questions I can answer?
Commissioner Duggan or Commissioner Beatty, do you have any questions for Joelle?
Commissioner Duggan, I have no questions. I've read the packet, and support the resolution, and will be happy to provide a motion once we hear from the other commissioner.
Commissioner Beatty, any comment? I also do not have any questions or comments at this time. So do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution number WWSS-01-21, declaring public necessity to acquire property interests over, upon, under, and through real property for pipeline section PLM 5.3 for the Willamette Water Supply System?
So moved. Commissioner Duggan?
This is Commissioner Judah, I'll second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye, Commissioner Judah.
Aye, Commissioner Duggan.
Commissioner Beatty, are you there? lost Commissioner Beatty.
She's still showing us connected to the meeting. This is Dave Kraska. Eric, you have your hand up?
That was an accident. Sorry, Dave.
Okay, so we have two folks voting aye, and I have not heard from Commissioner Beatty, so I assume that's not an aye or a nay. So the motion passes. All right, agenda item.
I'm sorry, I just accidentally muted Commissioner Chair. That is my fault. I apologize.
We'll have to get you some more training, Tom.
Oh my God, I am so sorry.
Let me see if I can unmute him here. No, it's on him. I think he's got to unmute himself. Hopefully he can still hear us. Oh boy.
So unmute on a phone line, I think it's star 6.
I think you didn't mute the former chair.
It is a good thing.
Is Commissioner Judah on a phone line?
Just now. Can you hear me, Dave?
Here we go. Yep, we can hear you again. Thank
Commissioner
goodness.
Judah, I apologize. That was my fault by accident. I accidentally muted you.
I've written your name down for further retribution.
Thank you.
So I'm unsure when you stopped being able to hear me, because on my end it showed I was unmuted the whole time. So for item business agenda 4B, we had two votes and one abstained, is from what I could hear on this end. And so those two votes were aye, and an abstain was a no vote. So I had indicated that means that it passes. And I'm ready to move on to item 4C. Now, if I missed something because of the muting, please let me know.
This is Dave Krask. I don't think you missed anything. That sounds fine. I think we are ready to proceed to the next item.
All right, thank you. Paul Matthews.
Paul, you're muted if you're talking.
Thank you, Dave. Yes, I was. And I did get my camera on, but didn't get the microphone on. This is Paul Matthews. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Tualatin Valley Water District. And I will be presenting on our financial statements. This is the first year that the commission has existed, the first full fiscal year. And so this will be the first financial statements that we've prepared, and I wanted to walk through with you the financial statements themselves. So I did request control, and maybe I was denied that. Joel, can I have control of the presentation so I can forward through it? Okay, it looks like maybe I do have control now. Well, that isn't what we wanted. Why don't you go back into presentation mode, and I'll just give you the verbal signs to click. Go to the next slide, please. Thank you. The next slide, please. Thank you. I wanted to cover just four items with you today. I want to talk, first of all, about the process of creating the WWSS as a financial entity, and that's important because these financial statements are obviously about the financial entity itself. I want to talk about the findings of the independent auditors. We did engage Moss Adams as our independent auditor, and they have completed their audit, and I want to talk about their opinion. I want to review give you a brief review of the financial statements and the performance of the commission over the fiscal year that ended June 30, 2020. And I want to discuss some findings that the auditors had on internal controls. If you could please go to the next slide. So we have, this has been a long road to get to the point that we actually have the Willamette Water Supply System as a separate financial entity. It started actually through two separate intergovernmental agreements when the Tualatin Valley Water District and the City of Hillsboro started the process of creating the Willamette Water Supply System back several years ago, 2014-2015. Those IGAs provided us a method of funding investments in the water supply program. That's what we called it initially, and to invest in the infrastructure. It anticipated the creation of a new entity via an IGA. As it turns out, we created two separate entities, the Willamette Water Supply System and the Willamette Intake Facilities Commission. But initially, the IGAs contemplated one. The first step, though, after these interim IGAs were put together, was to create the Willamette Water Supply Program, which is the organization that Mr. Kraska heads. I think of it as the Program Management Office, but it's the entity that is providing all the oversight controls and delivering the Willamette Intake Facilities and the Willamette Water Supply System to us. And then, of course, we created the Willamette Intake Facilities Commission first, and that's for the facilities down at the Willamette River Water Treatment Plant facility in Wilsonville that is gonna be the intake for both the Willamette River Water Treatment Plant as well as the new Willamette Water Supply System Treatment Plant. And then finally, the creation of the Willamette Water Supply System, which was created as an intergovernmental, through an intergovernmental agreement, and that officially came into being on July 1 of 2019. So June 30, 2020 concluded its first fiscal year. We had to transfer the ownership of the capital projects from the Tualatin Valley Water District in Hillsboro, who were initially investing in this. We actually included the city of Beaverton in that because Beaverton bought into this through a true-up process. And then we moved the remaining construction outlays to this newly created Willamette Water Supply Commission. So currently, all the assets that we've accumulated through the years, both Hillsboro TVWD and now the city of Hillsboro, are owned within this Willamette Water Supply System, with the exception of those facilities that are held by the Willamette Intake Facility. If we go on to the next slide, please. Briefly, these are the important elements of the financial statements themselves. You were provided a copy of the financial statements in the board packet, but there's the report of the independent auditor. I'll briefly discuss that. Management's discussion analysis, and that is the financial discussion that we put in the report that provides the context and understanding for the basic financial statements. The basic financial statements themselves, which include the traditional statement of net position, change in net position, and cash flow, as well as the important notes that are always included as part of the financial statements, were also audited. And then there's supplemental information that is required, as well as report from the independent auditors on internal controls, both report for the government auditing standards and then for the Oregon auditing standards. And essentially, the Oregon auditing standards include pretty much everything in the government auditing standards, as well as a review that we followed other Oregon-specific laws, for example, that we've held money in depository institutions properly and those kinds of things. If we could go to the next slide, please. So this is a quote right out of the report from the independent auditors that in their opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the respective financial position of the Water Supply System Commission as of June 30, 2020. So this is the report that we want. And Joel, if you could click one more, please. This is what's called an unmodified opinion. They used to call them qualified or unqualified opinion. Qualified opinion was bad and unqualified opinion is good. What an unmodified opinion means is that they didn't have to make any exceptions to their findings. It's essentially a clean audit that the commission has received. And it essentially means that the financial statements present the financial position fairly, and that's what we want from our financial statements. Joel, if you could please click to the next slide. Briefly, highlights out of the management's discussion analysis, the net position, think of that as our equity, if you will. If we were private entity, we would have a balance sheet and we would show equity, $169.4 million as of June 30, 2020. So that essentially means that that's how much the commission's book value is at that point in time. The commission is reporting its leases based on GASB statement number 87. I'm not going to go into this in a lot of detail, but I want to give you a little bit of a highlight on that because it presents some oddities in our financial statements, and I want you to be able to see those as I walk through the financial statements. Essentially, what this does is it's a new way of reporting leases on the statement deposition for public governmental agencies. So what you see here is that we had something called lease assets of $13.7 million and lease liabilities of $14.9 million. What that means is that the future value of all the leases, which includes primarily the ground lease with Wilsonville, but also the lease for the PMO office, that we're showing that we have a value there of $13.7 million is the value of those lease payments going out in the future. We have a liability of $14.9 million because we haven't made all those payments yet. So that's going to show up on our books as well. So net investment in the capital assets is the largest portion of the commission's net position. So that's really what the commission is about. Go to the next slide, please. This is a snapshot out of the financial report, the statements themselves. This is the statement net position, and it is equivalent of a balance sheet. So think of it as a balance sheet. The net position is reflected by each of the partners on their individual audits, and I'll show you at the end of the presentation here how the $169 million breaks down between the partners. But I want to highlight just a couple things. If you could click once, Joel, the $169 million that you see down at the bottom highlighted now, that is the total net position of the organization. And if you click one more time, if we look up at the top, you'll see the two lease payments. So we show as an asset that $13.7 million and the $14.9 million. Now, the way those things are calculated, believe it or not, there are discount rates involved in there, and there's a present value that's taken. It's a complicated calculation that the Government Accounting Standards Board has adopted as part of statement number 87. And that'll come up a little bit later in the presentation as I talk about some of the internal control issues. But needless to say, we have quite a bit in the leases, but most of our facilities are shown there as capital assets, non-depreciable assets, because they are not currently in operations as we're building out the system. If you could please click the next slide. Presented here is the statement of revenues, expenses, and change in net position. Think of this as our income statement. This is a report of the progress that the entity has in capitalizing itself. Keep in mind that as a new entity, we had no net position from prior periods. There was no prior period. There was no fiscal 2019 for this organization. It began in fiscal year 2020. So as such, the entire amount change in net position came from the capital contributions from the partners through this period. So our net position increased from zero to $169 million, and that is reflected not just on this income statement, but on the balance sheet I showed you just a moment ago. If you could click one more, please. That is the change in net position, that $169 million that we talked about. And one more. The $169 is broken down by partners, and this is important because this is what each of us needs to report on our financial statements, our investment in joint ventures. So the three partners that we have here are also partners, for example, in the Joint Water Commission, and we have a similar kind of calculation that comes out of the Joint Water Commission that we put on our books. And so this shows your individual agency's equity share. Now, if you could click one more. One of the findings on the internal control matters has to do with that lease, and that's why I took a little bit of time to talk about the lease. And as we went through the audit, we made an audit adjustment during the audit itself. And so I'm going to talk about the condition, cause, effect, and the auditor's recommendation. The condition was that during the year, assets transferred to the commission were overstated based on lease payments improperly included in the transfer amount. So as you go through the GASB 87 calculations, we did this in concert with the City of Hillsborough prior to the formation of the Willamette Water Supply System. Those transactions, when they came over to the WWSS, were improperly accounted for. That's why we do an audit, to find things of this nature. So the cause is through the formal review process. We're established. We do have formal review process that we follow during the year. The review did not identify the improper lease payment in the transfer payments. The effect is that management made a significant adjustment after year end to the assets transferred and to the partners' net positions, and we've communicated that to the partners. The auditor's recommendations is to is that management ensure that transfer amounts be reviewed in a timely manner alongside general ledger reconciliations to ensure accuracy and reasonableness. And of course, we'll do that. We won't have many years of transactions as part of that. Now, what we will do as a result, first of all, the financial statements are accurate. There's no problem there. But what we will do is we will present to the board what is called a corrective action plan at the February meeting. And we will ask you to approve our corrective action plan. And our corrective action plan largely mirrors the recommendations of the auditors. We're taking it one step further. We're going to be a little bit more specific. Our accountants will go ahead and create the journal entries that are required to transfer these amounts. Our technical service accountant will review those, and our controller will approve those. So we'll include that in our procedures as part of the corrective action plan. So with that, next slide, please. Staff asked that by motion, you accept the commission's financial statements for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2020, and the report of the independent auditors, and I can answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much, Paul. This is Commissioner Judah. I don't have any additional questions. Do any of the other two commissioners have questions or comments?
This is Commissioner Duggan. I have no no questions. Thank you, Paul, for presenting the report.
It will be brief in future years.
Hearing no more comments, I assume that there isn't any. Do I have a motion and a second to accept the WWSS Commission financial statements for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2020, and the report of the independent auditor?
This is Commissioner Duggan. So moved.
This is Commissioner Judah. Second. We have a move and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Commissioner Judah, aye.
Commissioner Duggan, aye.
This is Dave Kraska. I think Mayor Beatty is disconnected from the meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. I certainly would like to get her vote, but if she's just, instead of waiting, if nobody has an issue with it, we have two of the three votes as ayes, which would pass, and we would list her as abstain, as we did in the last. Are there any objections to that?
Commissioner Duggan, none here.
I assume Clark Balfour is still on. Are we doing okay with that, Clark?
I'm sorry, this is Clark. I didn't quite hear the question again.
We've lost connection with Commissioner Beatty. And there's only two of us on here. Are we able to continue to proceed with just the two ayes and not having a full vote?
I'm doing this from memory. My memory is that the quorum to have a meeting requires that you've got the minimum voting requirement of 70%, and with the presence of Hillsborough and TVWD, that gets us to that point. So as long as it is a two, as long as the two remaining folks agree, then there's no problem in moving forward on this.
All right, thank you, Clark. So it has been moved and seconded, and there has been two ayes with a third abstaining, and there's none opposed. So at this point, the motion passes for that agenda item. All right, thank you. Number five on our agenda today is information items. The first one, Ms. Bennett will present the business agenda items planned for February.
Thank you, Commissioners. I'll be providing a brief overview of the 7 items we expect to have on the business agenda next month. It's looking to be a very full agenda. First item is to adopt WWSS, Washington County Land Use and Transportation, Master IGA Amendment 1. The Willamette Water Supply System continues to strategically partner with Washington County Land Use and Transportation to deliver coordinated pipeline and roadway projects at various locations in the region. The proposed Amendment 1 to the Master IGA clarifies the real estate acquisition term in the IGA regarding responsibility for property acquisitions for exclusive waterline use. At the February WWSS board meeting, staff will present the proposed intergovernmental agreement with a recommendation to the board to adopt it through resolution. Second item, PLM 4.1, Washington County Land Use Transportation Construction IGA. The design of the WWSS and Washington County partnered project PLM 4.1 on Southwest Tualatin Sherwood Road between Langer Farms Parkway and Borchers Road is nearly complete, and WWSS and Washington County are readying bidding documents. The construction IGA will specify how the two projects will be constructed together and define each agency's specific responsibilities. At the February board meeting, staff will present the proposed intergovernmental agreement with a recommendation to the board to adopt it through resolution. Third item, Res 1, Washington County Grabhorn Road Realignment IGA. The Willamette Water Supply System currently owns property adjacent to the reservoir site that will be used for construction, staging, and pipeline construction. At this same location, Washington County is planning for roadway improvements on Grabhorn Road, as conceptualized in the Cooper Mountain Community Plan. This IGA establishes the coordination and cooperation between our two agencies to support the WWSS reservoir construction and the county's future plans for Grabhorn Road's realignment. At the February WWS board meeting, the staff will present the proposed intergovernmental agreement with a recommendation to the board to adopt it through resolution. Number 4, approve amendment to the Water Supply Integration Contract. When the Water Supply Integration Contract with Confluence Engineering Group was executed in late 2018, it did not include the key task of developing the WWSS Integration Plan document itself. The integration plan was intentionally excluded from the scope and fee at that time because the initial years of project work were necessary to define the integration plan contents and effort. The water supply integration project team is now ready to move forward with the integration plan development, and at the February board meeting, staff will present the contract amendment to the board with a recommendation for approval. Number 5, approve an amendment to the real estate services contract. The real estate services contract with HDR was originally executed in late 2016 and was amended most recently in 2019. This proposed amendment to the real estate services contract will update the level of effort based on updated property counts and a revised staffing approach that addresses changes in HDR's staffing, transfer of appraisal services out of this contract, and delivery of appraisal reviews through either qualified HDR staff or a subconsultant. At the February board meeting, staff will present the contract amendment to the board with a recommendation for approval. Sixth item, approve as the Local Contracts Review Board, or LCRB, a special procurement for the DCS 1.0 panel fabrication services. To continue with the unit responsibility approach for WWSS SCADA, WWSP requires board approval for a special procurement of additional SCADA-related services. Staff propose modifying S&B's existing contract to include services related to fabrication, testing, and warranty of SCADA control and communication panels. At the February board meeting, staff will present the request for special procurement to the board as the LCRB with a recommendation for approval. Seventh and final item, adopt the corrective action plan to address the WWSS Commission audit findings. Paul Matthews, TVWD CFO, presented today that staff are preparing a corrective action plan, or CAP, in response to a finding from the audit of the WWSS Commission. Staff will be bringing the CAP to this board in February for adoption. This concludes the summary of upcoming action items. May I answer any questions?
Thank you very much, Joel, for that information. Are there any questions from the other commissioners? I have none myself.
Commissioner Duggan, I have none either.
Okay, not hearing any. Let me move on to information item 5B. The next regular board meeting is scheduled on February 4th, 2021 at 12 noon via dial-in conference due to the continuing COVID-19 restrictions. The number six on our agenda today, communication and non-agenda items. The one item on there, A, is to confirm the location for signing documents approved at virtual board meetings. Dave Kraska, I think you have this one.
I do. So a real quick update here. So in the past, well, you know, we're with these virtual meetings here, we end up with these documents that still require a live signature to complete execution. To date, last year we had set up appointments here at the program management office to have the officers, Jim Duggan and Mayor Doyle, to come in and sign, just set up an appointment with Faye. She coordinates that. And so I presume the same is still acceptable to our new vice chair, Commissioner Duggan. So Commissioner Judah, would that work for you as far as having Faye set up an appointment for you to come to the PMO to sign documents perhaps on a monthly basis? Or would you prefer some other approach?
I'm open to any approach. That would work just fine. Not having been involved in this loop before, I am kind of curious why you're not using electronic signatures to do that.
Well, that's a good question. I think we're I'm gonna stall here a little bit and then ask if either Faye or Clark has something to add. But my guess is that we're following TVWD's lead and how TVWD board executes their documents. And I don't think they've fully embraced electronic signature yet at this time, and so that's why we've been doing that. Faye or Clark, do I have that? Is my memory correct on that?
This is Faye. I believe you are correct, Dave. And it's at this point in time, the original signed documents are also housed on file in the TVWD office as well as electronically. So I can follow up with our district recorder on those policies, but we have not, to my knowledge, been set up for electronic signature at this time.
So it could, well, go ahead, Clark.
I was just gonna say that, that's true what Faye said. So we have used electronic signatures for agreements and things of that nature. Typically on official like board meeting actions, we've been trying to stick with the wet signature, but that's really not a requirement. So we could move toward an electronic signature format I'd have to review the TVWD policy to see if we have to change anything, but we would have the flexibility to move that way if that's the desire of the commission. Tom, I don't know if you have any thoughts.
Well, so this is something I for the most part, everything that I'm involved with signing, I'm doing electronically. Stuff that we have been working with the board on to have the board sign, what we've done is we mail them where we want it or feel that we need a wet signature. We mail them a packet, they sign it, and then mail it back. So as far as I know, we have not been having anyone come into the office to sign anything.
Once again, this is Commissioner Judah. I'm more than happy to continue working with Faye. I was just kind of curious as to why we didn't haven't progressed to that. I'm not even sure what we're doing with the city of Hillsborough right now, since I'm not the signee. But Faye, just let me know how we work this when you need me to come in, and we'll make it happen.
Thank you. We'll take care of it.
Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to invite Nikki to, it looked like she had her hand up for a little bit, wondered if she had something to add to this.
Yeah, I believe we've been mailing things as well and not requiring people to come in. And we've also, the city has really switched to DocuSign for all contracts. Sounds like Tom's doing something similar. So yeah, we haven't, just wanted to put in, we haven't been requiring people to come in. Mailing has been working fine for minutes and things.
So,
any other comments on this subject?
This is Commissioner Duggan. I'm fine with the current setup, but also open to whatever staff wants to propose to get all the documents officially signed.
Thank you, Commissioner Duggan, Commissioner Judah. So I think what we'll do then is we'll stick with what we have been doing, which is set up monthly appointments that work for you both to stop by the PMO and do the signatures with Faye. Meanwhile, we'll also look into moving towards electronic signature, because that would streamline a lot of this and avoid a lot of the paper handling, and just, you know. So that might be a better approach, but give us a little bit of time to work through those details, and maybe we'll have a report on that ready for you at our next board meeting.
All right, that sounds great.
Thank you.
Didn't mean to throw a wrench in the works today, so I just thought I'd ask. I believe that's all that we have today, that there's no other further business. Somebody jump in if I'm missing something.
Commissioner Judah. This is Dave Kraska. Just letting you know, there's nothing else on the agenda.
All right. Thank you very much. There's no further business before the Board of Commissioners, then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for your participation today.